The situation in Egypt remains fraught today with the arrest last night of the Muslim Brotherhood's spiritual leader, Mohamed Badi, as the crackdown on protesters continues and the state of emergency remains in force. Here, a protest is continuing this morning outside the Egyptian embassy in Dublin to voice opposition to government violence there and to demand the release of the four Halawa siblings who are still held after they were arrested in the Al-Fatah Mosque in Cairo on Friday. And I'm joined on the line now by Nasiba Halawa, who's the sister of the four Irish detainees. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kimari.
I'm very well. Do you have any information today about the whereabouts of your brother and sisters?
We still know that they are, we have people that still, they're releasing them, and they still confirm that they are still in Tura. Okay. But we heard from our lawyer like a few seconds ago that they're trying to charge them with a tourism and another 15 charge. We don't know what they are.
And how much help are you getting from the Department of Foreign Affairs here?
Yeah, they're trying their best to even see them, because until now they didn't see them yet. Yesterday they went to two people from the embassy. I think it was the ambassador. And another person went to Tura jail to try and see them. But they refused. He didn't wait for the answer from the government. He said maybe he will make the things quicker. So he went straight away to Tura, where we told him that they are there.
And he tried to get the consul, I think it was the Irish consul, he tried to get
Irish
refused.
Consul. Yeah, yeah.
How concerned are you about stories, rumours about your young brother, that he may have been ill-treated?
I'm really concerned, because I know that I used to be in Egypt for a while, and I'm a person that who follow the media all the time. So, and I know people that their husband was taken there and they was beaten, and one of my friends, her husband, like, she had a photo for his back and how he was bitten in his back, and you can see the sign and everything.
You must have been very worried yesterday when you read about the deaths of almost 40 prisoners in transit.
Yeah, that was like a nightmare when we heard that. Because that's mean, I know very well, we saw them how they treat the people and in front of the camera. They put them over 12 hours with no food. They left the lady to die, and all she needed was an adrenaline injection. And that's what all the world was watching them. It was a live streaming. So can you imagine if there's no one knows that they doesn't want to tell anyone that they are there and no one can see them, what they could do to the people?
Obviously, you have friends within Egypt who are working on your behalf. What are they able to do? How are they able to help?
My friend is like trying their best to confirm are they still there or not. If they're charging them, what's the charge they get? What's the place exactly? If they know anything about someone has been released, they try their best to make me contact with them and maybe try to know what's the situation or how they're doing now.
Obviously, there are so many prisoners in Egyptian prisons at the moment. Are you worried that your brother and sisters are going to be lost in the system?
They're trying to make them lost. I'm very sure that they know they are there. Okay? Because when they were surrounded inside the mosque, there was no the Egyptian government. It knows that was a four Irish civilian inside. Okay, and there's a rumor. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what was delaying them to attack the mosque. They didn't start attacking it in the middle of the night and everything. That they was afraid that there was four Irish civilian inside. And that there was a live streaming, so if anything happened to them, it would be all the world witnesses that.
Do you think that your brother and sisters will receive perhaps better treatment than Egyptian citizens because they are Irish citizens?
No, the only thing maybe I will be think about it, that maybe they're not going to kill them. But treatment, I don't think they will have any better treatment.
How are your parents taking all of this?
My father and my mother, they're just getting worse, their situation and their emotional feeling. And like my father yesterday, he was like, "This, I know these people very well. They doesn't have any mercy," especially when he watching the news and he hear that they killed this person. And they, yesterday they killed a journalist who was passing by. One killed and the other is still injured in the hospital. And these people, two people, is a journalist from the government. They was passing by, and after they had a meeting with one of the government person, they didn't even ask him to stop, and they just killed him straight away.
So your parents are rather frantic at the moment, are they? They're very, very worried.
Yeah, they are, yeah. My father is just trying to run everywhere to find if we can find any solution for that. Like you can imagine, three girls, one in digital media, the other one is already finishing digital media, and she's planning to do master in psychologist of the media, and the third one is she loves children, that's why she went to Montessori, and a boy he's finishing his leaving cert, and they wanna charge them with 15 charges, and one of them is tourism. What they did is holding a camera or trying even to record. Is that a tourism thing now in the world?
Can I ask you, your siblings, why did they go to Egypt? Why were they in Egypt in the first place?
In the first place, they went before everything started, before that all started. They went before the coup happened. Okay, they went for a regular summer holiday. And when the coup happened and everything started, they started, because two of them is a digital media, they started went and trying to record and trying to show the people what's happening in there. They tried to show the people that this is a protest, that no one holding a gun or anything in it. It's just a peaceful protest.
So their sympathies lie with the Muslim Brotherhood, would that be correct?
No, they simply, and you can see it everywhere, they wanted democracy and freedom. It's not with the Brotherhood or no Brotherhood, it's democracy and freedom.
But their sympathies would lie with Mohamed Morsi, would they?
It's with the democracy, and democracy is with Mohamed Morsi. It's not because he's the Brotherhood. It's because he's the president. He presents the democracy now. So anyone who was in his situation, they will support him because he's presenting the democracy and the freedom.
Do you think in retrospect it was unwise of them to stay in Egypt? Would you have preferred that they had returned to Ireland?
No, why I would prefer to detain in Ireland? It was just a peaceful protest. You know, during Morsi's, the year that Morsi was a president, it was like every day a peaceful protest. Have you ever heard that a person killed them? Why it's only the kill to start after the coup? No one was expecting that the coup will kill people in the street. The people in Egypt, when they die in the street or when the army opened the fire in them, they doesn't know if they opened the fire, as they say, to the Brotherhood or not. When 1,000 people walking in the street, would you be able to know who went out only for democracy and freedom and who went as a supporter for Brotherhood? Would you be able to know that?
Are you encouraged by the fact that the fate of your siblings, the whereabouts of your siblings and the treatment of your siblings is being discussed at European Union level?
To be honest, I didn't hear that.
Apparently that is the case. Apparently they are, at the moment anyway, they are the only verifiable EU citizens who are being held in detention in Egypt. So their fate is being discussed at European level. That must be of some encouragement to you.
Yeah, of course, that is some encouragement. Of course, anything happened that will help my brother and sister, that's encouragement for us.
Thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning, and our regards to your parents who are obviously going through a form of torture all of their own. That was Nosaiba Halawa, the sister of the Halawa siblings who are incarcerated somewhere in Egypt at the moment. That's one of the questions, one of the stories I discussed with Rebecca Collard, Cairo-based journalist today. I spoke to her before the programme. I asked her, were there any indications that the Halawa Hawass might be released soon.
It appears not. We know that yesterday they were supposed to have a meeting with the state prosecutor, and there was some thought that charges would come out of that. But since that meeting, whether or not we don't know whether or not that meeting took place, and whether or not they were charged. What I can tell you is that there are a lot of people right now, both Egyptian and foreign nationals in detention in Egypt. I spoke with a worker to rights organization here in Cairo yesterday. And what he basically told me was that they are so inundated. They have so many requests now from people who have loved ones or friends that are in detention or suspected to be in detention that they're not able to even keep up with these requests. So, you know, these siblings are a few of many, many, many people detained right now in Egypt.
And what sort of conditions are they being held in, do we know?
We're not sure. I mean, the conditions in Egyptian prisons are obviously not very good. Of course, I've seen the reports that you've seen also that there was some suspicion that the youngest boy had been beaten, although I absolutely can't confirm that. But generally, the conditions in Egyptian prisons are not good. And I think the scariest part, though, for the family members of all these prisoners, all these detainees, is that the not knowing where they are, not knowing about the conditions that they're being held on under, and not being able to contact them. And this is really, you know, across the board for Egyptian detainees, the situation.
And the crackdown in Egypt continues. One of the latest victims has been the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohammed Badi. Would you tell us something about him, first of all?
Yeah, he's been a Brotherhood member for a long time, I think since 65 about, and he was actually arrested in 1965 because he was part of the Brotherhood, kept 9 years in prison and released under Anwar Sadat, the previous president of Egypt. And so he's been arrested before. As you know, the Brotherhood has long been an outlawed organization in Egypt. So he is quite a prominent member, has been for many, many years. And I think that what we can take from this today is that they do seem to want to rid Egypt of the political leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood. So, you know, we already have Mohamed Morsi, the president, the ousted president in prison, a number of other top leaders, and a lot of talk here that any day now the interim government that is backed by the military could outlaw the organization and disband the organization completely. And so basically, again, return to a point where the Muslim Brotherhood are an illegal organization in Egypt. And the impact of that could be quite severe. Obviously, with the violence in the recent days, nobody is talking anymore about a negotiated solution. We had General Sisi, the head of Egypt's military, on TV saying, come and talk, come to the table. But if they continue to arrest the leadership and eventually ban the organization, I don't see how we would have a political or peaceful solution out of very, very deadly standoff in Egypt.
And what's the likely effect of the arrest of Mohammed Badi likely to be on the Muslim Brotherhood? It is apparently a very hierarchical organization.
It's unclear. I think that they are adapting. Obviously, a lot of their leaders have been arrested. I'm not sure if it's going to affect their movements on the ground or their ability to organize, really. But I definitely think it's going to anger a lot of people, of course. You know, they've called for a week of protests. So far, those protests have not been massive, in the last 2 days anyway. But I think it's going to anger a lot of people, and we're probably going to see people protesting against this arrest of Mohammed Badi.
And there's also suggestions that the insurgency could benefit. And let's face it, there is an insurgency going on, certainly given what we saw in the Sinai yesterday, that the insurgency could benefit, perhaps is already benefiting from a flow of weapons from Libya. What can you tell us about that or about the extent of the insurgency at the moment?
Insurgency, I understand what you're saying. It seems a bit of a strong word, but definitely we are seeing the first signs of this. First of all, I want to say weapons have been coming from Libya into Egypt for quite a while, to some degree. Not just weapons, all kinds of things, cars. Ever since the instability in Libya and Egypt, we've had things kind of moving illegally across the border and weapons among them. What I can tell you is that in the Sinai Peninsula, where we saw these 24 police officers killed yesterday, or the night before, sorry, this has been a volatile area for a long time. I've spent a lot of time in this area, and I can tell you that People have a lot of guns up there. Both the local Bedouin population who feel oppressed by, have always felt oppressed for decades by the central government in Cairo. And now this, what you're talking about now, this kind of increase in jihadi groups in that area. And I think that it's that part of the situation up there is that this area is extremely economically suppressed. People are very poor. There is no jobs, no development. This has fostered a smuggling industry and basically left a population quite vulnerable to these sorts of ideas and to joining these sorts of groups. So I don't think things are going to get better. I think that these arrests and the continued crackdown by the military is only going to anger people more.
You mentioned the killings in the Sinai yesterday. Apparently, state TV has been making quite an issue of those particular deaths. Is that to counteract the publicity, the adverse publicity arising out of the deaths of more than 30 prisoners in custody?
Possibly. I mean, of course, it is a lot of people to die, but there is a propaganda war going on in Egypt, and the state media, and to a large extent also the private media in Egypt, is launching a propaganda war against the Muslim Brotherhood, against these anti-coup protesters, against those that support the ousted president Mohamed Morsi, and we've seen the television news again and again to show that these people are armed, to show that there are weapons caches that they're finding in apartment buildings, in these sit-ins, that all this sort of stuff. So I definitely think that there's a propaganda war going on here, and that of course the deaths of these soldiers these images are being shown again and again of these dead soldiers, and I think that because a lot of people are very angry also about these prisoners, you know, having 39 or 36 prisoners killed in a police van, of course, is upsetting for a lot of people. So there is definitely a propaganda war going on here. Both sides trying to show how they're being treated. One, the government side painting the Muslim Brotherhood and these opposition groups as terrorists, and at the same time, opposition groups wanting to show that the government is ruthless, that the police and the security forces are unnecessarily violent with protesters and detainees.
Meanwhile, an almost forgotten man is forcing himself back into the headlines. Why is it that the 85-year-old former dictator, Hosni Mubarak, might be released?
Well, basically, it's kind of a technicality. I think that nobody expected him to ever get out of prison. There was kind of an understanding that he would stay there forever, but in the end, he was acquitted of some of the charges against him. And the other charges are still outstanding, but they can't keep him in pre-trial detention. So there's a limit under the law in Egypt that you can only keep somebody in pre-trial detention for 2 years. So they can't keep him any longer in detention without a further trial. So so this is very, very interesting development. At the same time, I do think that, of course, in Egypt, we've seen how they detain people. I mean, we were just talking about these Irish nationals, the Halawa family. If they wanted to keep him, if there was political will in Egypt to keep Hosni Mubarak behind bars, he would stay there. So very, very interesting development. It'll be very interesting to see if somebody manages to block his release, because I think that will cause a lot of anger also on the streets of Egypt.
Yeah, I mean, what are the optics of that? The fact that the Muslim Brotherhood spiritual leader goes into jail, and there's every prospect that Hosni Mubarak is going to be leaving jail.
I know it's, you can imagine for a lot of the revolutionaries that first took to the street in January of 2011, this is, I mean, very disappointing. I think a lot of Egyptians were quite proud to have ousted and jailed this dictator, Hosni Mubarak, who for 30 years ruled Egypt with an iron fist. Very happy to see him behind bars. To see him leave and the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood to go into jail, I mean, it's a very interesting development. It kind of makes some people here worry that basically the old leadership, the kind of old state structures, are coming back in Egypt, and I wouldn't want to say that this revolution is failing, but definitely that there is a kind of swing back towards the old state apparatus.
Rebecca Collard, thank you very much for joining us from Cairo.
You're welcome.
Rebecca Collard there on the line. And a number of comments on our interview with Nasaba Halawa, the sister of the four Irish detainees. Michael says, is this what I'm paying my licence fee for? RTE Now, a spokesperson for the Muslim Brotherhood, an organisation akin to neo-Nazis, in fact far worse, an intolerant, supremacist, racist organisation that preaches hatred of anyone not a Muslim. My God, what's happening to this country doling out Irish citizenship to anyone who asks for it? Somebody else on the other hand says, Miles, listen to her, put your agenda aside. Whatever you think of Morsi, his election was recognised internationally as democratic and legal. Chris says, they were in the thick of things. Glad you asked the question about the Brotherhood. They were warned to leave the protest site, so no sympathy from me. That's what Chris says. While I have sympathy for the Egyptian family, somebody else says, I have to question why they became involved in a demonstration. Please question Muslim leaders on their attitude to Christianity. They were given the opportunity to govern fairly, but tried to bring in Muslim laws for all, which is more or less what Jim and Tullamore says. I have a certain sympathy for this lady and her family and the suppression of democracy, but it's believed that the Muslim Brotherhood, after getting into power themselves, were trying to turn Egypt into another Iran. And many Christian people and their churches are being attacked by these so-called Islamic Democrats under Morsi. Why did these Irish passport holders, asks Kate, choose to consort with Islamic terrorists? We'll take a break.